Blog Talk Radio.
I'm sitting at the red light. My ankle monitor beeping. Hadn't been charged. I think I see the people. Bounce. I took my roof off at the red light. I took my roof off at the red light. Trap, 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 trap. Trap, 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 trap. Brown bag legend, cause it's all cash. Brown bag legend when it's all cash. Trap, 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 trap. Trap, 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 trap. First one on the block. Whoa. I need mine off the top. Go over town, he got shot. Buddy died in Overlocker. Couldn't save one lump. Hit him up, lum lum. See the look on my face. Woo. Like Cash did it one day. Woo. Niggas hate on my sound. Till I went the first round. Woo. Then I earned the Lombardi. Ain't no fuck boys allowed. Woo. Only fuckin' shit exclusive. Woo. Her favorite rapper, Lil Boosie. Woo. Tell the truth, I didn't ask. When it come to bitches, I'm Gucci. I'm Gucci. I'm the wrong one to rob. Rob. In the jungle, I'm Nas. Rob. In the label, I'm Russell. In the trap, I'm Rick Ross. Double M Goldman Sachs. Just like Omar and Chloe. You came down for the packs. I sent you right back loaded. Boom. I took my roof off at the red light. I took my roof off at the red light. Trap, 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 trap. Trap, 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 trap. Brown bag legend, cause it's all cash. Brown bag legend when it's all cash. Trap, 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 trap. Trap, 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 trap. I was trying to bet a whole map
by Vegas. All right, welcome to Wednesday Night Wind Down with your host, Shamor and Nim. So, tonight we're going to start off our evening. We're going to welcome a guest. And then, of course, we're going to get into the second part of the show where we talk about bull stuff. And I want to start off the show, you know, with profanity because, you know, I don't do that. Okay, maybe I did. But I'm going to bring on part of our NIM. Hi, Imaj.
Good evening. How are you doing?
I cannot complain. I cannot complain.
Me either.
So we're going to get into our second part of the show later where we get to talk about bull. Yeah. And I'm sure Imaj is going to bring the real. She's probably going to touch on some stuff that was on my list of things I want to talk about because I was just like everyday life. But she's going to touch on some bull doo-doo and, in the celebrity world. And, of course, Mr. I'm Not Here Yet, I'm Always Late, he's got his segment that he's going to touch on, too. So that's the second part of the show. The first part of the show, we're going to welcome author Keith Kareem Williams. And this is an author that I feel a connection to only because he's such a kind guy. My first writing experience in this industry, he helped me out. And I'll never forget that. He helped me out, no questions asked. Checked in. Did you need anything? Can I help you with anything else? I mean, he was just really, really cool. So, but I've been watching his hustle since then because that was like 5 years ago. And amazing growth. Just amazing. So, we're going to talk to Mr. Williams here in a moment. I was trying to give Ron a little time to get to work, but it doesn't seem to matter.
All I can do is shake my head sometimes. I can't even.
And I'm trying to figure out why I'm so surprised. I'm probably actually not at all surprised. You know, you just hope people do better and think they will and they don't, but it's okay. So at some point throughout the interview, I'm sure Ron will show up for work. tardy for the party. And then expect to be brought in, mic open, and everything like he was on time. We're going to let him do his thing. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to have, again, I'm going to have two separate lives going on. So I'm going to do the live for the interview portion, and then I'll stop that one, and I'll do a live for the second half of the show. Unless, of course, there are technical difficulties, and then I'll just stop whenever it says you got to stop because I'm not acting right. But y'all know how technology is. Remember, that new phone doesn't work like that old trusty dusty one. So, well, no further ado. I mean, you know, ever since I got this new phone, we've been having to do stuff a different way.
And mine is holding on by a string, God. I'm trying not to get rid of it. I'm trying.
I am,
but it
not
just makes my spirit heavy every time.
I'm not the spokesperson for this 8. This 8 is not making me happy. Life at this 8, they need to do something better with this connectivity issue that they are having. Because this stuff is really for the birds. But we can talk about that when we get to the BS part of the show.
Gotcha.
All right, so I would like to welcome to the wind down. Mr. Williams. How are you, sir?
I'm good. Good night. How y'all doing?
Yes, good.
Nobody's over here complaining. How about that?
That's good. Thanks for having me. Thanks for that intro. That was sweet. I'm here smiling, cheering.
Aw. But you know, it's true. I mean, you remember that experience, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that's just me, like, you know. But you've been my Facebook BFF since then, so it's all good.
That's my FB BFF. Everybody probably questions that, but that's why. Like, he was like a friend to me when I didn't have any friends in the industry, so I appreciate him.
Thank you. You're welcome. Anytime.
So let me talk to us a little bit about your most recent project. What do you got dropping?
Was early this year. In the last year, I released a book called Death in the City. It's actually based on a screenplay that I wrote a long time ago. And, you know, I've had this screenplay sitting around, and, you know, but I love the story. So I said, you know what, I might not be able to make it into a movie right now, making it into a film. So I decided to, turn it into a novel.
Okay.
And so far, out of all the books I've released up until this point, that one has sold the most copies of that. So that's a beautiful
thing. All right. So we got us a hit. We got us a favorite.
Yeah.
A fan favorite.
Yeah. I don't know if it's I think it's a combination of, you know, with my earlier work, I wasn't known. I think it's probably the product of people paying attention now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've been telling y'all I could really write.
Right.
So I feel like, you know, my audience and my readership has grown. So that's what,
I mean,
you know.
I don't know how people couldn't know who you are by the way that you hustle.
Right.
That was the reason that I played that song, because you treat writing and your books like you work in a trap. I mean,
yeah.
Really. Yeah. You're serious. Like, you're on the street, you're hustling books, you're in the lab, you're writing all day, you're raising kids.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Thank you. My life is not easy. But,
no, because I catch you online when I'm online, which is way too late to be online and get
right.
up and be bad in the morning and pushing books under a tree the next day. I mean, really.
Yeah. I sacrifice a lot of sleep. But, you know, when I first started, what I realized is that a few things I had to learn early on. Like, for example, you know, I save all the kind of, you know, the emotions and the feelings for what I write on the pages. And it takes a little bit of time sometimes to realize that you have to separate, you know, some of the personal stuff when you have the finished product in your hands and you need to get it out in the world. Now, did I always feel like I was writing great books but wasn't getting the attention? Sure. But, you know, I chose, instead of, like, you know, being sensitive about it and being upset, I just used the energy to say, well, you know what, I'm just going to keep writing. And I told a friend in the industry once, my homie Keisha Green, Keisha will tell you, I told her, I said, Keisha, if I have to write 100 books to get the recognition, well, then that's what I'm going to do. You know what I mean? Mm. So that's how come, you know, in 2010, I released my second book, and I'm working on my 14th book now. You know what I mean? So,
wow, 14.
That's proof that, yeah, that I'm constantly working. But, you know, that's what it takes sometimes, you know? So, I'm willing
so
to.
So, talk
to
us about the genre that you write in. I want everybody to kind of be familiar, if they're not, with the type of writing you do.
Right. Well, in terms of my genre, like, I've written books in every genre, from thrillers to urban to contemporary romance to erotica to fantasy / science fiction. But I have a unique style. I get bored, right? And I feel that sometimes the readers may get the same. Like, I try to avoid formulaic writing. Where, you know, sometimes you find something that works and you tend to be afraid to shy away from it. I experiment a lot and I mix genres a lot. And okay. I was nervous doing it at first because, you know, you do something and it works. So you say, man, you know, I better keep doing this, it works. But it also becomes stale and stagnant. So a lot of times I'll start off a novel and you'll believe that it's one genre. And then by the time it gets to the last stage, it's something totally different. But if I do my job right, you love the whole ride from beginning to the end. So
right.
You know, my style is always difficult. I mean, I found a creative way to describe it in my bio, but my style is it's always hard for me to explain because I do so many different things and I don't stick to any particular script.
I mean, I think we understand that. So, you know, you want to be fresh, and you don't want to be predictable. So, I don't need anybody to be predictable. So I get that. And I'm going to pause for a second because I'm going to bring our male representative in because he's extra late to work, but he might have something that he wants to offer during an interview a little bit later. So I don't want him to be sitting and waiting. So,
okay.
Ron, are you here now?
I am absolutely here. Good evening.
Yeah, okay. Shut
good
up
evening.
Again.
What's good, brother? How you feeling?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm sitting here listening to you, and you're definitely inspiring me to get up off my backside and do some work.
All right. I'm glad.
You done? Because I know I told you to just sit there and shut up. I mean, but are you done?
You really go talk
hey,
to
Ron.
Me like this in front of company? Hey, Maj. I mean, we got company, and you're going to disrespect me to that level in front of company?
I mean, that was nice. I didn't use any profanity, and I called you by your name.
So you're not going to answer the question. You're going to sidestep it with some verbal gymnastics. Okay, I get it. No problem.
Whatever works. Moving on. So talk to us about getting into writing. Like, what prompted you? What made you want to be a writer?
Well, I always used to write and you know, win essay contests and poetry contests and so on and so forth. But I really didn't consider it as a career until I went to college, because I actually entered college undecided. I didn't know what I wanted to do. And I took a fiction workshop, and I tell the story of, you know, when people, you know, it always, you know, well, basically what happened was I took a fiction workshop, and I never read my work in front of people. So that class consisted of just the professor. There were no textbooks. He said, look, you guys write. You bring me your work. The class was sit in a circle. We'll critique it. That's how you'll be graded. Now, when I was in college, I was working two jobs plus going to school full-time. So I'm sitting there for about the first month, and I hadn't seen a word.
You said you were working two jobs?
Yeah, I was working two jobs. Yeah, I was working for an ambulance company doing their medical billing and their scheduling, and I was also working in the group home. So as a therapist.
Wow.
I was, and then I was going to school full time, so that was, you know, I had a full time full schedule. So I sat down and I said to myself, well, you've been in this class for this amount of time, you haven't written anything, you haven't brought in anything to share with the class, and you're paying for this. It's not high school where you just go to summer school. Like, I have to pay for this class again as hard as I work. I said, nah. So one afternoon, I went home, got home about 2:30 in the afternoon, and I wrote from 2:30 in the afternoon till about 2:30 in the morning. That's very rare. I've had sessions like that where I just sat down and I didn't do anything else, and that's what it is. So when I brought the work back into the classroom and I read it, the professor didn't even know my name. He had to ask me, like, who are you? And, you know, I told him who I was. He said, all right, well, go ahead. You have, you know, you have the floor. And as I read what I wrote, I could feel the energy of the class shift depending on if I, you know, if I was reading something sad or tragic, whether it was, you know, the parts that was supposed to be funny, they laughed. And that was a powerful feeling because, you know, you could feel the whole room shift as I read. And when I finished, I felt the whole class kind of like exhale, like, wow. You know, and then the professor and my classmates told me, like, dude, this is what you should be doing. And they, you know, that what I read in that class became actually the first two chapters of my first novel. And the reason why I ended up publishing a book is because life kind of caught up with me. I couldn't afford school, so I decided to take a semester off. Like, you know what, let me take a semester off, save some money, instead of scrambling around, worrying about how I'm buying books, how I'm paying the tuition. Let me just take a break, catch my breath, and start back. But then I had my son while I was on break, right? So now, you know, you have a family, so that takes priority. And then I was considering going back again once I got used to how I had to handle things with a son and a woman to take, you know, to take care of. And here comes my daughter. So then they got put on hold again. But after my daughter, I made my mind up that I didn't want to let go of what I knew how to do. So I did my research. I figured out how to self-publish in a way that was beneficial to me, where I wasn't getting hoodwinked by any vanity publishing companies or anything like that. And I went ahead and put out my first book, and it went well, and the rest is history, as they say.
All right. Well, I mean, and I think that story in itself is inspiring, you know. But I think that shows that your hustle developed a long time ago. It wasn't, oh, I'm going to write books and then I'm going to hustle them. Like, you've been a hustler for a little while.
Always. From the time
and
I was
a kid. Apply that.
You know, from the time I was a kid, you know, like, I always felt like if I wanted something, I'd go out and I'd grind for it. You know, so that was always, took me a while to learn how to sell my books, like to sell my books out in the street. I credit my brothers for that, my younger brothers, actually. The brother that's right behind me, Mel, when I first got that first 500 books, he sold them. Because I'm looking at these books like, all right, I got them. What am I going to do with them? And he came and he said, all right, I got you. And he took a handful of books, I was like, yo, bro, you know, I bought those. He's like, no, man, relax. And he came back every day, and they was gone in a week.
Wow.
He was moving them. And then once I decided to get out in the street, my other brother, the brother behind my next youngest brother, he sells his music. And he was the one who actually taught me, like, listen, bro, you're not going to sell books standing up behind this table waiting for people to approach you. You know, you have to introduce yourself. And I spent the summer with him, and he made me into a monster. Right? So now, even if, you know, sometimes I'll go to an event, and maybe, you know, it wasn't as busy or didn't get as much foot traffic, you know, to sell books. Listen, people who've been places with me will tell you, I get out in the street anywhere, anytime, and I'm selling my books. I don't leave the house without flyers, bookmarks, a couple books on me. I've sold books to, I've been out to dinner and sold books to waitresses. I don't care. You know, it's a constant thing. And I feel like because I wear all the hats, what I do, that's the only way I can do it. I can't sit back and wait for things to happen or wait for anybody to make things happen for me. It has to be an obsession. You know, so I joke and I say it, but it's true. I'm almost always working because, like, I said, I'm a one-man, you know, I'm a one-man team. I don't have a team behind me, you know, a street team or anything like that. So it's just me. So
yes,
that's
the only way I survive. When we actually met in person, I remember you telling me that you actually sold books like in an airport or on the bus or
If I'm getting on a bus to go somewhere, like a long bus ride or whatever, or the airport, I'm asking people, like, listen, we're gonna be on this bus for a while. Right? I'm an author. Anybody need something to read? Early on, when I first quit my job and started doing this full time, 2010, I was actually on my way to go on a date, but I felt like I didn't have enough money. So I said, you know what? Because I got my responsibility to take care of my kids and my bills. And I'm like, man, this girl should be going on a date. I ain't got money for that. Man, listen. And I was getting on the train to go see her. I threw books in my backpack. And on my way there, I made enough money to go on a nice date. I was on my way to the house.
Now, that's dedication.
Yeah,
dedication.
You know what I mean? You got to make it happen.
I like it. Okay, so I don't want to monopolize the conversation. So coming from, you know, a male perspective, or Imaj is definitely our reader, super reader, reviewer. So do you two have any additional things you'd like to ask?
I'm an open book. You guys can ask me anything.
All right. Well, then, how about this? So you say you was on the train, right?
Yeah.
So I'm assuming you're from a city. What city are you from?
Yeah, I'm from Brooklyn, New York.
You from what part of Brooklyn are you from?
I'm from over in Brownsville in the 90s.
Okay.
Wilmore between 91st and 92nd.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Because I'm born and bred in Brooklyn myself. I used to live right in Kings County or New York and Winthrop.
Okay, so you already know, all right?
Exactly. I'm listening to you.
I was born in Kings County Hospital.
Oh, well, I feel sorry for you. I
survived, right?
Right, and you survived. Right. So you knew you was going to win. From day one, you knew you was going to win.
If Kings County ain't kill me...
A little family reunion. Okay.
I mean, see, this is what I'm talking about, brother. It's just a little bit of testosterone start flowing and she start hating. Don't pay her no mind. She don't know how to act in front of company. I mean, she's good at heart. She's good at heart. But, you know, sometimes when company get around, she start, you know, dropping dishes on purpose and shit and changing the channel. We watching the game, she changing the channel. She just don't know how to act in company around. Yeah.
I'm just going to tell you, be careful. You're talking to my SB BFF. He don't play that kind of stuff. Be careful.
All right. I'm too old for all those letters. You gotta talk to me. You can't spell to me. My bad. I apologize. I'm not up on the hip lingo. You know, but all that shit you just spelled out meant nothing to me.
I'm just telling you, don't cross me because you got my back.
Is that what WFNFVWST means? Is that what that meant? You might as well have just said it. It was quicker.
I hate you. I hate you with a passion.
All right. You got to be like that, but that's okay. All right, so back to you, brother. I don't mean to get sidetracked. So that being said, being from the town,
there's
a lot of options.
Right.
You know what I mean? There's a lot of things going on. Right. How do you decide how to spend your time? What's more important than something else?
Oh, gotcha. Well, for me, what I've learned is that I don't necessarily go out every day to go sell books now, because there are certain days that are lighter than others where you end up spending more time kind of like standing around. So what I do is I know the days that are busy. So on those days, it's usually Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You know, people are out. They tend to spend money over the weekend. I'll go out like an animal on those days. And then the slower days, like the Mondays, the Tuesdays, the Wednesdays, I spend that inside. Like, I write every day, but there are times I dedicate to research. That's important. You know what I mean? Like, I've learned also to do that internet research when you need things done, to find the cheapest way where you're still going to get high quality. Jump on the, okay, this is this. Nah, man, you got to bargain hunt when you're self-employed and you're running your own business. You know what I mean? There's companies out there that'll do things cheaper, you know what I mean? So I do a lot of research. That's when I do the bulk of my writing. You know, I promote. Thank God for smartphones, because I could still promote while I'm out in the street. You know what I mean? So, and then, you know, I'm a single dad, so that's tricky also, because, you know, I can't neglect my kids. You know, but the good thing about me being a full-time author is that the job that I had before, right before I quit, and, you know, decided to take this route. I was gainfully employed. I was a manager, had a good job, made a good salary, but I was never around. My mother always had to be taking care of the kids, my cousins, my aunts. And I said, yo, dude, you got to be around more. You know, you're their dad. That's you. Who they looking to, who they need to lean on. So, because I used to leave when it was dark, get back home when it's dark. And then when the weekends come around, the only thing I want to do is sleep because I'm tired. So when I made this decision to be a full-time author, it gave me time to get up in the morning, take them to school, walk them to school, make sure they get to school okay. Then after school, pick them up, come home. How was your day? What's going on? What's going on at school? I have this, all the teaching staff, they know me. The principal knows me. I volunteer at the school when they have big, like, I'm not a PTA guy, but if they have, like, a big event, like, you know, some type of fundraiser or whatever, I volunteer my time. You know what I mean? So it allowed me to be more active in their lives and to be around and not miss all those important things like the shows and the award ceremonies and so on and so forth. So even though, you know, there's times where, you know, as with any business, it's up and down. You know, when I was punching the time clock or when I was working with somebody else, look, whether I had a great week or not, Friday, have my money, bro. You know what I mean? Like, as long as I put the time in and I did the work, whether I had a great week or kind of choppy, well, Friday, have my money. The difference is now I have to make it work. You know, I can't, there's no, you know, there's not a lot of room for error. But, yeah, that's pretty much it. You know, it took me a little bit of time to find balance. Because I'm really driven and I work a lot, but I realize that I still have to take out time to spend with the kids and to, you know, do things with them. And so I'm much better at it now than I used to be.
Indeed, indeed.
So
I'm sorry, Shamar. I won't ask any more questions.
You can ask another question, but I'm going to ask a question right now. So, again, let's get back to this fact that this point I was making here. So I remember, I guess it was about 2010, 2011. I remember the Keith of 2011.
Mm-hmm.
He would be online. He would write. He might communicate with you a little bit, but it wasn't a lot of personal interaction. But this 2K17, Keith, with the pictures all over the internet and interacting with his fans or his followers or his readers, I'm not sure what you call them. This 2K17, Keith, has turned into quite the attention getter. And I noticed that putting certain pictures on Facebook could result in a few comments or inboxes. So,
right.
So I think I need to go ahead and let maybe Keith talk about his I don't know, are you a single man? Are you looking? I just don't want to get beat up. That's all I'm saying.
You're all right, man. You're not gonna get beat up. I am a single dude, but you know, I don't know. I kind of just live. You know what I mean? I learned a long time ago not to force things. You know, so I kind of just, you know, I work. I'm hard to deal with. Like, that's my problem. I'm hard to deal with because I work so much. And, like, there's a lot, even my friends will be like, yo, we going here, we going out or whatever. And I'm like, nah, I got work, you know. So they kind of get it. They get used to it. But sometimes it's a little bit difficult for women if I say, look, you know, nobody wants to come third, you know, because it's like my kids, my career, and then you somewhere after that. You know what I mean? So not everybody's in a place to be like, oh, okay, I feel you. I see what you're doing. You know what I mean? So sometimes it makes it difficult. And then, you know, as a writer, it's not like I'm a bus driver, so I come home and then I'm just coming home to spend time with the fam. For me, sometimes when I'm home or I'm around, it's not really downtime, you know, just because I don't, you know, put on a tie and go report to an office. You know, when I'm home, a lot of times that's work time also. So it becomes complicated, you know. And you know, but I figure, listen, somebody gonna put up with my bullshit, so. You know what I mean? But, and I'm going to put that
y'all
in.
I think you got a lot of volunteers willing to put up with it.
You know what? It starts off like that. It always does. When you say, look, this is my life, and you kind of map it out, because I'm honest. You know, I don't play. I'm sometimes my honesty gets me in trouble, but I'm real honest. And everybody will say that in the beginning, like, oh, no, 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 it's okay. And then it becomes a problem after a while, you know, when you don't spend enough time, or they might not see you for two weeks or so. And it's like, and then also, most of my readers are female, right?
Mm-hmm.
You see how I am. I'm cool with everybody. I talk to everybody. Mm-hmm. You know? And that becomes a problem. Like, man, I could tell y'all stories of problems that I have with ex-girlfriends behind this book thing. But I won't get into that. Some of that is probably missing. I forget.
Well, you, not
I
just need to put it out there so that the Facebook bullies stop harassing me.
Wait a minute, Paul.
I have not taken Keith away from anybody. He's like you said,
he says Facebook bullies.
Yes. That whole thing, the picture you saw is the first time we ever met in person. We had known each other several years, and we decided to take
a
selfie.
Nice picture.
Yeah, we decided
to take
a selfie.
My mom said it's a nice picture.
We had to kind of put our faces together, but nobody's humping anybody, I promise.
You don't have to explain none of this to these people. What is wrong with you?
Because I feel like somebody's going to try to get me. I mean, it was really, something. Yeah, the reaction.
You can just put them on over to me. You know me, I don't care.
And listen, I'll be honest, right? One thing I think, one thing that I'm happy about, for whatever reason, there's women that I've dated, that I've been with, that are on my Facebook or whatever, right? And you don't ever see drama on my page. You know what I mean?
Right.
You never see, any type of back and forth. It's kind of I'm a respectful dude, and I kind of demand that in return. So, not saying that somebody's never seen something that, put them in their feelings and had them send me a text. But in terms of, harassing somebody or, that I haven't experienced that. I hope I never do, But for the most part, even women that I, they normally don't do that. So that's a good thing. So I'm doing something right.
Mm-hmm. You just send the investigators to my page with that whole thing. Who is this show?
I'm sure I did.
Who is it?
What you need to do? Put up a link and be like, your lesson underneath the picture, like, buy my book. Buy my book.
I make the money off
of it. Since you have so many questions and concerns, here's my link for my book. It's a good old $12.
Yeah, that's a link for my book.
That might be a good marketing strategy. I might stick that out there in.
Like, somebody asked me something crazy, just be like, I hear you, sis, but here's a link for my book.
But, okay, so I think I need you to go ahead and, because you said 14 books, so I know you can't just, run down the list of all of your books, but
right.
Out of your catalog, what would you say is your favorite pick? What are your picks
out of your catalog? It's hard because it's like picking your favorite child. But I will say the first will always be special to me.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because, that was the first. And
your first is always special to you. So
always. My
Except
second.
Except if it's Ron's, probably the most forgettable experience. Never mind.
My second open spaces I love, because I think I introduce a lot of people, when they ask me, well, what book would you suggest? I always suggest that one because I feel like it's probably my most mainstream storyline, Middle of the Road, Glass Goddesses, Concrete Walls, I love. It was the most personal book I ever wrote. 90% of that book was real, my real life. But right now, if I had to have a favorite, I really love Death in the City. But then I'm in love with the one I'm working on right now. I could go through every book and give you the reasons for why, I love this book. Because I'm passionate
right.
about
sure.
all of them. So I don't really have a, it's hard for me to say I have a favorite because also they're so different that I love them for different reasons. It's like looking back at relationships.
Okay.
I love her because this, this, and this. But, another woman, you might love her for different reasons. So
right.
That's pretty much all of this.
I think we get that.
And then some of them chicks you just like, so
Yeah.
You don't love them, you just like them.
You don't love them, you just like them a lot.
Right. Do you feel that same way about your books? Some of them you just like, you don't love?
I can't even say that. I think I love them all. Because, you know what it is? I invest so much into them. One of the things about my approach is that it doesn't matter if it's a blog post, if I'm writing for an anthology just as a favor for a publisher or for another author friend. Whether it's a status update or a tweet or an Instagram post, I put on the same energy into all of it because I always felt like you never know where a reader is going to get their first sample or taste of your work, right? So just because I'm working on an anthology that's not mine, or I might not get monetary compensation for doing it, I'm just doing it out of, you know, love or to be a part of a project, I still put the same effort and energy because all of that is basically my brand. That's me. Like, I never want somebody to read something and be like, oh, this is corny, and it has my name on it. You know what I mean? So that's why I would say, like, it's hard for me to say there's anything that I like but not love. Because if there's things that I've started off right that I like but didn't love, but I'm going to make sure that I won't release it until I love it. You know what I mean? Yeah. It'll sit on the back burner until I love it. And when I love it, that's when I let it loose on the world.
That's a good policy to have with your writing.
Yeah.
Because I think as writers, we always write something that's just not exactly what you want it to be. So.
Yeah. I leave those in the, trust me, I have a stack of those in the, and then, you know, what'll happen is, it's not that you don't have a good foundation or that you don't have a good idea. It's just that it's not really what it could be. So you kind of just leave it alone for a little while, and then you might be in the shower one day and something pops into your head and be like, that's what was missing. And then you jump back into it. So I table a lot of ideas. I have an idea book. I think last count I was up to 91 book ideas in there. And as you know, I start to feel comfortable with, you know, I pick them one by one, whichever one I feel like doing, and I jump into it and I go from there. But I won't release anything until I love it. Because if I don't love it, the readers won't love it. You know?
Right.
So, yeah.
That makes sense. So, I wish you could do people like that. There's this one guy that we put on Simmer, until
right?
he's ready to love him. So, I'm going to go back to you guys because I just had to, get to the woman thing because, you know, I needed to let the ladies know that I don't have your boo. He is still available to you.
Is that picture?
It is the picture.
I'm gonna frame that picture and put it on the side of a van.
Right around the street.
I'm gonna make a billboard out of that picture.
Yeah, you're gonna cause a stir. Your fans are gonna be really looking for who this woman. Ron, did you have any more testosterone questions?
Oh, you finna just beat me down.
No, not until another 45 minutes.
Okay. I just wonder because, you know, the jabs you're taking, I'm catching them. Don't think I'm not catching them. I'm catching them. I'm catching them. I'm just keeping quiet. But I can appreciate the vigor and the verve of what you throw said shots. I appreciate them. Anyway, all right, so let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Have you transitioned or do you use any other mediums when you deliver your message? Like, you ever thought about writing screenplays or writing songs or something of that nature? Has your talent ever, you know, manifested elsewhere?
Yeah, like, I write screenplays. I have a few. You know, I was discussing with my brother and some of my friends, like, yo, listen, the thing with a novel is I could do that by myself. You know what I mean? I could I know how to do from everything from the design, the cover, to sit down, like the story, and get it printed up, go out and hustle it. But in terms of the film, that is not a one man job. So right now I'm involved with my friends. Like, look, man, this is how we're gonna do this. This is how we're gonna make sure that everybody's good. I hear the stories where, you know, guys have web series or they, you know, they make film and everybody contributes, but at the end of it, everybody's not happy. You know, I don't want to create a situation like that. So I'm working on having it structured where I believe it'll benefit everybody. And I have friends that'll do it just out of the love, just because they want to see me win. But I also believe, like, if I'm good, you should be good too. You know what I mean? Because everybody's important. Doing film is not something that I could do by myself. So I don't care if you just held a microphone. If you held a camera, it doesn't matter. You know what I mean? If you was the guy that went and got lunch, it doesn't matter. It's a thing that I can't do alone. So every part is important. You know what I mean? Your car is like your car. Listen, a fan belt is cheap. But without a fan belt, your car ain't going to run. You know what I mean? So that's how I kind of look at it. Every moving part is important. So I'm just trying to structure it where at the end of the day, even if they say, nah, it's all right, you know, it's cool. No, I want to make sure that everybody's good. You know, so I do write screenplays. That's one of the things that I want to get into next. But I also want to get into it and do it right. You know, just as it, because I treat it the same way like I treat my books. Like, I wouldn't put out anything that I didn't feel was of high quality. So I feel the same way about the film, you know. So, yeah, definitely. You know, I'm not a songwriter. I used to play saxophone a long time ago, but no, I'm not a songwriter.
Ladies, did y'all know that?
Yeah, I'm telling a lot of people that. Long time ago. I was pretty good, too.
I think you're about to create some Facebook stalkers, because saxophone players kind of sexy.
Yeah. I need to. I'm gonna go get one then and start talking, posting songs.
Listen, man. Just because she asked the question or she posed it, don't mean you got to answer it. She's gonna get you in trouble if you follow her down these streets. She's gonna go somewhere.
She's taking me down.
You see it? You peeped it?
It's dark.
She's taking me down the alley.
I'm telling you, man. Just because she go, don't follow her. Yes.
What are y'all saying? I mean, is this like everybody against the Shamor? I simply said saxophone playing is kind of sexy, so, you know, watch out. You're going to get a stalker.
Not everybody in the band was attracted to the saxophone player.
I mean, not everybody, but it's a sexy-ass type. Look,
yeah, we see who was attracted to the saxophone player. We see who was.
Right.
I get it.
I'm more of a drummer type of girl. I don't know nothing about no saxophone
player. Yeah, the drummers get the girls, man. The drummers.
You didn't have the right girls at your performances, sir, because saxophone players, oh, yeah.
Just going to make them win, huh? Just going to make saxophone players win.
Have you seen Mo Better Blues? I'm just
saying. Oh,
man.
Oh, God, that tears in my eyes.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, Ron. You had something you were saying.
I'm saying y'all stupid. Y'all stupid. That's what I'm saying. I'm done. I ain't got nothing more to add.
Oh.
Oh, man.
Okay, so would you tell us, I want to make sure we get this into the show and into your recording. Would you share with us how we can find your work and you online?
So yeah, you could follow me on Instagram. My Instagram name is at Ream After Dark, R-E-E-M, After Dark.
Yeah, I meant to ask you what that means, but we'll get into that. Go ahead.
Oh, Ream After Dark stuff. Okay, then on Twitter it's the same thing, Ream After Dark. Of course, you can go to Amazon. K. Kareem, you know, put in my name, K. Kareem Williams, all my books will pop up. My website, www.remasterdark.wixsite/remasterdark. And now you wanted to know the origins of the Ream After Dark.
Yeah, please share
right?
with us.
Okay. Once upon a time, I always wrote love scenes in my books, so on and so forth, but I never wrote a lot of them. But a publisher reached out to me and asked me, you know, would I write some erotica? So I was like, all right, I did it. And I wrote for the anthology. And I believe you were on that anthology too.
Yeah, that's when we met. That's when
right.
we met.
Which, wait a minute. Which book was this?
The Eros. Were...
Yeah, it was the
Eros. Right? Yeah. And
you were my erotica. You were my erotica coach.
Yeah.
It sounds so bad.
Yeah, it sounds real good. But what I realized when I wrote it is that my readership jumped. Like, heard. Oh, now y'all want to listen.
Mm-hmm.
So then, on Twitter. Twitter at nighttime, they used to have a hashtag where people would write sexy things or whatever, and the hashtag was Twitter After Dark. But it was a good time period where I would just post, like, you know, you're limited on Twitter to 140 characters, but I do a lot with them 140 characters. And, you know, the hashtag, the Twitter After Dark. And what I started noticing was that I was getting more attention from people. Like, what kind of books you write? So, and I was really good at it. So then I just took the handle, Remaster Dark, and ran with it from there. That's the origins of it.
Gotcha. I knew it had to do something with sex because it had to happen at nighttime.
Yeah.
All right. So, ladies, you go... check out that hashtag, and you might get a little bit of erotica from...
Yeah, I'm going to start doing it again. Yeah. I stopped. Because sometimes it's troublesome. Like, you know, I get wild and black.
You know what? I agree. Because I get the most DMs at nighttime about
mm-hmm.
that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
well,
all I say is, don't mind me trying to go to sleep.
That's it. So
that's
definitely please check out Death in the City.
Yes.
And then while you're at it, check out all of the other works by Keith Kareem Williams. You won't be disappointed. He has a very nice pen. And that was with one E. I don't know about the one with two E's. I have no idea. But check out his writing. It's very impressive.
I like how you did that.
Oh, yeah. It was, yeah. Real subtle.
Like
real subtle. Check him out online. Find him After Dark. Find him on his Facebook page. You're definitely going to get a personal journey with him because that's what he does. He does share personal stories about, you know, what it's like to be a writer. So,
yeah.
And every now and then you get to leave hearts and smiley faces on pictures with his children. Very rarely, but sometimes you get that too. So, it's really nice to see guys with their kids. So, give them a little love in that department too. We thank you so much for making time for us this evening.
My pleasure. Pleasure. It was good talking to all of you guys.
And we're definitely going to let you go ahead and take your evening to rest. We're going to end this live feed so that he can share it if he would like to, and it'll just be the portion of the show dealing with him. And we're going to start a new live feed for the second part of the show because no telling what happens during that time. So, thank you so much for hanging out with
us. What do you mean no telling? Like we a bunch of wild animals or something. Like, we go attack somebody.
Are.
Whoa.
I am civilized.
Yes, Imaja is so civilized. That's why she's my friend. That's why.
All right, no doubt.
Well, you are civilized too.
Not ever.
Thank you, Imaj. You see how I got an angel on one shoulder and the devil on the other shoulder?
All that, wait a minute, I do provoke people to do bad things sometimes. I don't, not always this angel.
Well, you are angel.
I just
want to
keep the peace.
This one got my whole other shoulder just occupied while her devilish ass is starting trouble for no reason. My whole shoulder.
Yeah, missed you too. Imaj, we gotta start using our what's that? Instagram Live? Like, I've never gone live on Instagram. Have you ever gone live on Instagram?
No, I sure have not.
I've never done it. Maybe we got to do one of those. I don't know.
Maybe that way we can try to get up our Instagram likes or something. I don't know.
I want somebody other than half-naked women and traveling people to, like, want to friend me.
What do you mean, traveling people?
Right. I was about to ask that question.
Shut up. I'll answer Imaj's question. It's always someone that's like world travelers. Like, all their pictures are of mountains and oceans and, you know, and they like travel with us. And there's some kind of, you know, journalist that does the travel section. I'm like, do I look like I'm going somewhere? I'm not going anywhere.
For real, journalist. It sounds like a pimp to me. Like, come on, baby, I can take you around the world. just accept my friend request.
Yeah,
but
no.
I get journalists.
I get journalists because that's what it says. Traveling journalists.
No, I don't get. I don't get journalists from that.
Well, I guess. I have a lot of people that I follow who are. I want to figure out how they get paid to travel like this because that would absolutely be my life.
It has absolutely nothing to do with pimps and hoes.
No, but they travel a lot too, and she don't never pay for nothing. He pays for everything.
Well, her money that she went out
make it pay.
Well, I mean that's semantics. That's semantics. Now you're getting into, you know what I'm saying, the minutia of the details. She earns the money. She gives the money. Whose money really? Whose does it belong to? I don't know. It's their money. It's his money. I don't know how that works. I'm not a pimp.
It's her money.
Yeah.
It's her.
Okay.
But. Like, I have, like, a lot of travel people that, like, my favorite one may be the Travel Crush, where they're everywhere. Like, they're everywhere. They're in Egypt one week, and next week they're somewhere from blue water. I just want to be able to live life like that, get paid to just see the world.
So I'm trying this live thing.
Are you on this live Instagram thing?
Yeah, I'm going to try this live Instagram thing for like a few seconds. I mean, why not? So you're listening to the Wind Down Show. We bring it to you live on Instagram. And so, you know, just hang out and listen to the show with us. That was a good opening, right? That is pretty good, right? That's pretty good.
That show is whack.
Oh, my God.
This show is amazing. We want you to listen to us. So.
That absolutely. It's like.
Ron, don't be a jerk right now. We're trying something new.
He is a jerk. He can't help being a jerk. So I'm just going to. Can I comment on here? Yeah, I can comment. So I'm going to put our hashtag. And then you know, this would not be the time to be silent.
But I'm wondering
know
what the hashtag was.
Hashtag wind down live.
All right.
Are you ever here? Are you ever present? Do you, like, smoke something and does something to your memory? That's been our hashtag for months.
you in real form tonight.
I got a little clip. Hey, my little Facebook best friend then came on and she just showing all her tail.
Right, throwing all kind of letters around and shit.
Just gonna show her tail. That's your Facebook best friend forever.
Right. Oh, that's what it stands for. Okay, I get it now.
I think I'm excited that you did not know what it meant. I think that makes me happy.
Oh, well, then there's no need for you to be happy. I was joshing.
Okay. Well, look,
are you allowed to josh if you are melanated? Can you josh?
only Ronald can josh. So
Ronald
just
probably joshes. I think Ronald joshes. Ron does not josh.
Ronald just showed up for the show. He's here now.
Oh,
Ron,
who's
on CP time and never at work on time, does not josh at all.
Say no more.
Mm-hmm. Say no more. Okay, so I did Instagram Live. Hi, Instagram Live. This is part of the Wind Down Show. I'm now going to end this Instagram Live because it is not as much fun as my Facebook Live. And some of my Facebook Live friends are waiting for me to do the second part
so
of the show.
So you can't Facebook Live and Instagram Live at the same time. So you might want to go on back over there to Facebook. So
I can't do
talk to the people. Nope.
See, there she go. See what I'm saying? She ain't faithful. See what I'm saying? She got a side nigga called Insta.
Oh,
you know she got
a side. I have no side. Nothing. I am faithful.
No
I am
side.
Adventurous.
Nothing.
I am adventurous. I do try things. And so I tried you out Instagram Live, and it's a no for me, dog. I don't know.
That's that bullshit.
So, Ronald, or who are you today? Are you Ron or Ronald? Who are you today?
This isn't necessary. There's no reason for you to call out my government like that. That's not needed.
It was for clarity.
I mean, it don't really matter. They're the same person. So, I mean, I'm trying to understand
why you
got to put the old. What's all that for?
What are you hiding? Are you hiding? Is Ron an
alien? You have to enunciate.
Well, no, I'm not hiding. And no enunciation needs to be made. Oh, you're killing me.
Let's get to the partying and bullshit and stuff. Let's not get to that. You're wrong.
Yeah, we need you to be Ron tonight. Ron gives good bullshit conversation.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You know exactly what we're talking about.
Was that your Ron impression? I'm going over to Facebook now. Facebook Live. Do that.
You do exactly what we're talking about. Stop trying to josh us, Ronald. Just get Ron on the phone.
Oh, you know what?
I love the fact that she did a Ron voice. Like, that made it even more fun. Like, when she used in my Ron voice, that shit was hilarious.
That's what we do. I've been doing voices all day.
Okay. We got jokes.
We're doing it. It's time to party and bullshit. It's time to do some shit with your friends.
I get it. Watching I come to work and you know what I'm saying? and start going postal. Start going postal.
Why would you go postal at this job, Ron? Who's going to make you go postal?
Shamora. Huh? How about her? Her? She is, for one.
Her downstairs. Her downstairs.
I just want to know, how come I'm always a problem? Even when I haven't said anything, I'm not even talking right now, and I'm a problem. Like, what did I do to you?
What did you do?
You're such a crybaby.
I should have drank that while I was about to laugh. Almost, you tried to kill me.
Okay, so Ron, we'll start with you.
I'm saying,
what is it that makes you call bullshit?
Bullshit.
Yeah, what makes you call bullshit?
Besides the whole line of questioning that you have posed to me every damn Wednesday, that's bullshit. But
always me.
Always. You know what I call bullshit on? I don't really understand how a child can go through the whole school year and be dumb all school year and get to the end of the year and still get promoted. I call bullshit on that. Leave their little ass back. Leave their ass back. Embarrass their ass. And make them learn something.
Social promotion is bullying in 2017. So there will, retention is bullying. So social promotion is the solution. But retaining children.
Retention is bullying. So leaving somebody back is bullying.
You make them stay back. Oh my gosh, look at the mental damage you do and the social, emotional damage you do to that child by retaining them. No, that's bullying. Pass my child.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And you know, you got your parents to thank for that. You know, one of the things that I call bullshit is New Age parenting.
Mm.
You hold up a mirror to New Age parenting, I call bullshit, and they say, what are you talking about? I'm not like that. They want to govern everybody except for the kids. Isn't that crazy? Let me tell you the story about some bullshit. Okay, so I don't know if you guys saw that I asked what 22 pounds of weed was valued at in the streets, because
I saw that.
Did you see the story that goes along with it about the 13-year-old girl?
Yes, I did, because they ran that story here. So yes,
okay.
I've seen the story.
Okay, because some people thought I was just asking. They were making comments like, oh, it means jail time. But I was like, no, this really happened, and this is some bullshit. So it's a long, convoluted story. And so I'm not going to try to get into it. But there was weed that was stolen by a set of people. Those people wanted to steal the weed back. In trying to steal the weed back, they went into the house. They said, hey, let's kidnap the girl. They kidnapped the little 13-year-old girl, and then they say, we have her, and if you don't give it to her, we're going to kill her. If you don't give us the weed, we're going to kill the girl. Well, they don't give them the weed, I guess, and so they did just what they said. They killed the girl. So the baby is deceased. They killed her, and they didn't just kill her. They did some gangster mafia stuff and chopped her body parts up and stuff, just horrible things.
No, I don't want that, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they cut her up into pieces. They also killed one of the gentlemen of interest at one time. And, they cut out his tongue, gouged his eyes out, cut his ears off.
That's some Mexican stuff. That ain't no black people. That's Mexican.
So
Mexican gangsters do that.
So we get everybody, I don't know if about you or everybody's, got the Amber Alert like a Wednesday. Okay, we all got this Amber Alert like Wednesday. So the Amber Alert goes off. We're looking for this baby. How come the baby was actually abducted on Monday? Okay, not Wednesday, on Monday. But how come the people that actually reported the baby missing were not her parents? So her parents didn't report her missing on Monday or Tuesday. Someone else had to report the baby missing on Wednesday for the Amber Alert to even go out. In this whole process, and I know this is a terrible, tragic event, but the family, the mother to this baby, has not been seen speaking out. So I'm just thinking about parenting, because they knew, the other people knew, that the drug should have been in that house where that baby was. That baby was in that house watching an autistic baby. Now, mind you, she's 13. So she's babysitting another baby who is autistic, and they're the only two in the house. But you know people are looking for you. You know people are looking for your marijuana. Why is that baby anywhere not safeguarded, period? Because you're in the game. Your family's in the game. So you know that things have been happening with this weed for the last couple of days. Why is that baby not somewhere protected, period, end of story? If you guys want to be in the game, good. But the baby? So when I talk about parenting, I look at that whole full cycle, like, because I saw part of this story being posted in a group that's for educators, because an educator saying her baby was missing. That's one of her students. And she was like, somebody abducted one of my students. Guys, would you please share this? Would you please share this? So that educator feels such a sense of connection to this child, that we're in our summertime, and she is trying to get people to share this Amber Alert information. And yet parenting did not report this baby as even missing. And you know why? Because I know who got her. Because I know why they got her. Mm-hmm. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Your child is that expendable.
Listen, I could have another child. I ain't gonna never get another 22 pounds for free.
Right. And that hurts me so much to know that was that baby's reality. That was her reality. She, when they took her, she had enough wherewithal on her own to tell the autistic baby to go hide so that they only took her at 13. Mm-hmm. That means that baby done lived and seen some things.
Absolutely.
That's not all parents. I know it's not all parents, but it's sad that that is any parenting for a kid. You don't put yourself in a lifestyle, then you do it. But don't force that kind of thing on your, nothing detrimental onto your child. You know, that's cool. So I call bullshit on that. And I also call bullshit, y'all know I'm a conspiracy theorist, I call bullshit also on the FBI swooped down on this case in microseconds. Like, but y'all wasn't already watching them? Yeah. How many Amber Alerts did we get for the missing DC girls? How many FBI agents did y'all swoop down over there and look for those babies?
A bunch of bullshit.
Right. Okay, so what's your bullshit, Imaj?
After that bullshit, I mean, really?
You gotta lighten the mood.
Okay, so I am going to talk about some celebrity bullshit and how we have been so thoroughly entertained today by their bullshit. That whole Rob Kardashian and Black China. Okay, first of all, who didn't think that whole relationship was some bullshit? But okay, y'all was in love, whatever that was. But this is what I don't get. Some celebrities don't talk about this stuff in public, while some of them, that's the only place they know to go to.
Mm-hmm.
And so this morning, it was early morning bullshit of Black China sending her baby daddy, whatever he is, Rob Kardashian, a video of her kissing on another man in their bed. Well, I would like to say, Rob, you stupid. You knew she was a hoe. And in the words of Uncle Snoop, she saw a sucker, and so she licked it. So therefore, she came up on this lick. She got you $400,000 for a tummy tuck, dude. Are you serious?
And some boobs and a booty. Boobs and a booty, don't
you? Right. And, I mean, you know, we understand that the baby stretched out a little bit. So she had everybody think she was taking the tummy tea. That help ain't drank no tea unless her throat was bothering her, putting too much pee down there. You know,
she needed a protein shake.
You know, there ain't no protein shake or no tea or no exercising. You just wearing sweatsuits just because they cute. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're not doing no working out. You're not working out nobody's nothing in no sweatsuit. Nothing. This is some bullshit. Like, why do we have to deal with this bullshit on a Wednesday? Like, it's entertaining, yes. But then you get these super ass woke ass people who don't even know how to giggle.
But you know what? Here's what I was calling bullshit again. And so everybody got a little uproar and got the panties all in a knot because T.I. showed up on the scene. Guy wanted to throw in, you know, that Rob's a duck and you got a duck. Everybody's like, he needs to mind his damn business and he needs to worry about him and Tiny. And so then I came back and he's like, let me spill the tea on you, T.I. So he tells a story about
the threesome.
China, some with him and Tiny, and he paid her. And I'm sitting here waiting. Like, what's the shade? Like, they like threesomes. They picked somebody to do a threesome and they paid them. What's the shade? If they agreed to invite them, that's what the hell they did. Why are you trying to shade that? You didn't invite these other dicks into your bedroom. That's why you made it. You haven't done anything. What he's talking about. But then, like, the followers, which I guess they T.I. haters now, they sit on their perch and they were like, he didn't mind his damn business. And I was like, are y'all even listening to yourselves? Are you listening to yourselves, people? The Kardashians' business, if it wasn't for them putting their business in the public, you wouldn't know what a Kardashian was. That is their business. So they're doing exactly deal with this whole thing I call bullshit, because if Rob doesn't do that, he won't get another reality show. Duh. He's got to have some kind of bullshit in the public for someone to say, oh yeah, you are relevant. We want to put a camera in your kitchen. That's why. So, please, if y'all are tired of that shit, stop talking about it, and it'll go away.
It will. It really
but
will.
I call that
all.
It's just those people. Why do we even entertain them? Like, I'm with Beyonce. Send them gifts back. I don't like that bitch. Why would I need this?
Beyonce sent that stuff away. She didn't even send them back. She's like, excuse me, janitor, do you need some Gucci socks?
But it's for your baby. Because they all wore baby clothes.
Yeah.
And it was stuff for, like, glue and for the twins.
Right.
And so she sent them back. She's sitting on the gate with the nurses that were there at the hospital. You need this for your baby. Here you go. What size your baby was? 3T. Here you go, right here.
She didn't even, that was going to say, she didn't even send it back. The little headline said she gave it back, but she didn't. She gave it away. That's not even giving it back.
Yeah, honey, that dog.
Little baby. It's some little baby at a, you know, $20 an hour daycare with clothes on that cost more than the week. The clothes cost more than a week daycare.
But yeah, I just, when they're like, nobody likes you. Like nobody likes them. Stop trying to be everybody's friend. Nobody likes you.
Wait. I got to call bullshit again.
Okay.
How does Rob get on the internet and try to shade China about surgery of any kind when his sisters are plastic? Really? You get a boy.
I'm getting ready to post a picture on my Instagram that's really about to throw some shade, because it's like, so Rob Kardashian paid for China's weight loss surgery and didn't get one himself?
Right. I saw somebody said that earlier today. I was like, Whoa,
that's not
But did you see the video that's floating around, too? You see the video? They said that skinny Rob Kardashian will slap the hell out of a woman. And there's a video of him slapping the little girl that he used to go with that used to be on that show. What is the show? He used to be in that group. The Cheetah Girl.
The Baileon girl who married the singer. And he need a bra. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So when they're dating, he slapped the hell out of her in the kitchen. So don't say he don't hit women, because it's quite possible. It's quite possible that he does.
I said that.
No, you didn't say that. Is your name Rob?
Rob, would it be? Not Robbled. We didn't call you.
No, you said so. Don't say that. I'm wondering about that. I never said that. But anyway.
I didn't say you. I'm talking to America. Because they're defending him. They're saying that she used to be. Like, how do you know if he ever hit her? You don't sleep in their bed. I mean, some people do, but not you.
You talking about all of America or just a certain segment of America? Like, what
America?
America
that hasn't been in their bed.
So it's not all of America right now. It's not everybody.
Everyone has access to what I'm saying. So anyone in any facet could pick it up and click on me. I'm public, and they could see it, so I'm addressing them too. If that's okay with you, I mean, I know you are the police of everything that I say.
I mean, I was just trying to figure out exactly, you know, what kind of you know, demographics are picking up what we're putting down.
Right, everybody. We are listening to, if I could get to my map, I think they said France. And America, I think it's Europe. So I'm thinking London area, and then America.
Whoa,
and,
this is an educator.
Africa.
What's going on? Africa. Europe. I mean, not Europe, France. Oh, France is in Europe. My bad.
No. I'm leaving off Africa. That's where I was going. I was like, no way, Africa is the other one. So yeah, that's where. So we actually are across the pond. That's cool. I think we should run over there to do some kind of local meet and greet. And then get a one-way ticket and just leave his ass there.
Oh my goodness.
Whoa. One-way ticket?
No, Ron has to come back.
Why?
Because he has a family here.
No, they can go.
He's bringing his whole family away with him, too.
Because I don't ever want to separate. I don't ever want to separate, you know, father and daughter. That's beautiful. And I know his lady loves him, so we just don't want him back. And so just so everybody's together, just stay.
I just don't know what to do with you sometimes. I don't know. I be trying, Ron. I be trying.
I see, and I appreciate your effort, but this lady is just too much. She is entirely too much. She needs to be reeled in. Somebody needs to reel her ass in because she is ridiculous.
I'm not a little bitch. I'm not on a hook. Nobody's reeling my ass in. What do you think?
Uh-uh. Them women almost reeled you in and tried to get you all the way in order.
Girl.
They tried to get you in order, honey. Who is this long head waving heifer?
Oh, glistening and glowing on this damn picture.
So what did the inboxes say? What did they say?
People just wanted to know, was that a picture of you? Was that a picture of you and your boo? And I was like, no. People that I've like never seen before, like I've never like chatted with or anything. I had to check and see if we were even friends. Was that a picture of you and your boo? And I'm like, no. And I'm like, oh, isn't that Keith? Where were you guys? Because I want to, you know, what festival was that? I might want to do that next year. I was like, that was it. It was, like, real simple, like, subtle. But then, like, the first time we posted it, like, that weekend of that book festival, oh, my God. The number of likes were amazing. And so I made a comment, like, first time meeting, it was nice meeting you at the BFF. And that was a real simple comment. I got like 100 likes on that comment. Like, really? Who liked that comment? But that was that subtle message to let you know that I saw that shit. You know how it is.
I saw that. You cute and all, but you ain't that cute. Don't come through here acting like, girl, you don't sit your ass down somewhere.
It was one of those to let him know that I saw her comment on your thing. I know what she said, and I know who she is. So if I need to ask her, I can ask her. And I was like, slow your rope, boo. Okay.
Wow.
All right, but people do realize that you and 99 other motherfuckers that clicked the same button. So now the thing that was trying to make you stand out then sunk you back into the middle of this other 99 people that I still don't know who the hell you are. I mean, I'm just saying.
Because he doesn't seem like he's the type to even care. Like, I just from the conversation, he's probably like, I don't know them chicks. Who cares what they got to say? They can like all they want to. He don't give that pushover type
but, like,
vibe.
It was so funny. Like, there was one comment on one, because he put it on both. He put it on Facebook and Instagram. And I wasn't even speaking about that comment, but that comment stood out to him. And he was like, oh, you mean when old girl said this? And I was like, you know, I wasn't, no, talking in general. He said, oh, I'm sorry, you're talking in general. I thought you were talking about, I was like, no, but now that I see that you caught that, that tells me something, you know. So I knew.
And what does it tell you? And what does it tell
you, Ron. Thank you, Ron. Appreciate you for jumping that right out my head. Just go ahead. What does it tell you, Ms. Bumble?
It tells me that the comment that was made, the comment, have kind of a connection to him in such a way that he assumed a very general statement was very specific to him.
So he got, not only is it probably an inbox hoe, but he's probably had a portion of it. Okay, we get it. That's all you had to say. You had to tell us. I'm a reader.
Maybe that person went into the inbox and was like, I need some specific information. I'm not doing all this on Facebook or on Instagram. I need to come in the DM or the whatever the other thing, inbox, and I need to get very specific with you. You know what I mean?
With you.
No, because I've been very specific with you. Like, we done done some
with
stuff.
You.
I done, you know what, I was about to be
that's
real
a
bold.
Word, Ryan. Sir, with you.
I was about to be real
with
bold
you.
On this right there. One second. I was about to
nigga right here. Oh.
You know what, that's some bullshit, too. I get sick of women doing that dumb shit.
Right.
I'm not about to have a pissing war with you with a man that I'm not like that with. Like, are you serious? And if I was like that with him, you wouldn't be a factor.
But the thing about it is, like, I don't have a problem saying, like, this is my boo. You know, y'all, I do so many things online. I wouldn't have a problem saying, this is a picture of me and my boo. Look at us. If I want to put that out there. With you is a word.
With you.
Now, how many more with times you. We got to tell you that? America, with you is a word. It's all one word. It's all together.
With,
it is a
with
word.
You.
With you. W-I-T-C-H-U. With you is the word.
With you.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I mean, using
like,
it all my life.
Like, with your is a word.
With your mama.
Whoa.
That's my girl. With your mama.
I was making a sentence, Ron. Making a sentence.
She just gave you an example. She was using it in a sentence so you can spell it right. With your mama. Now I know you can spell that. And if you can't spell it, ask your daddy.
And he'll get with you.
Because he was with your mama. So he probably can spell it.
The two of you, y'all fucking Thelma Louise act is hilarious. Y'all need to go on the road somewhere. Live Nation need to book y'all at mid-sized venues.
The line. Now you know then well.
Right,
shade.
Right.
That was a whole tree of shade. That was like a whole tree of shade. You see how she does it? She spun that damn loyalty right around and turned it right back to Ron.
I'm an equal opportunity.
She one of those friends that be like, she's one of those friends like, yeah, we gonna fight this chick. Come on, I'm gonna help you fight. And you get there, she be like, girl, let me hold your purse. We gonna fight. What
happened? No, if we fighting, we fighting. Now I ain't gonna do you like that if we in the fight. Like we gonna fight for real. But girl, we gonna talk about this fight after we have it. But I'm like, why we fighting over here again? Oh, okay. That's why we beat her up. Okay, good. That's fine. As long as we beat her up. But I'm an equal opportunity shade thrower. Ask Dre, I throw shade at him all day long. And he's like, really? But I'm your friend. I throw shade. That's what I do sometimes.
I don't know that it was shade. I just think it was very perceptive.
Yeah, cause you know good and well. We ain't going nowhere if it requires her to get on the airplane.
If she got
and we ain't going no
line.
Further than the Texas state line.
That's it. You might get to Albuquerque, New Mexico. You might.
Mm-mm. No, we ain't going past Texas. Right. We're going to drive through every county in Texas. But we ain't going.
Every county.
We're going to do that 14-hour drive across Texas.
Oh, shoot.
That 20-hour from top to bottom. We can't even cross into Mexico because she's scared to do that. No.
Y'all know
we
it's
how
a cartel. Anybody ever told you it's a cartel over there? They have a cartel.
I understand that they have a cartel over there across the border in Texas. But when I go to Cancun, the cartel don't bother me.
That's because you kind of light-skinned. You look like them a little bit. Depending
she
on
said
right,
that's
because
you kind of light-skinned. Don't talk to them.
They're my cousins. How you? I told you they're my cousins.
Right. So they'd be like, you know, cousin,
hey,
Prima, come over.
Who are those dark fuckers with you?
Yeah, they could be like, are those Dominicans?
Y'all stupid.
We don't mess with them.
Look
Dominicans.
At her hair. Look at that hair. It's all fucking wavy.
Because she's one of y'all, too.
It's not one black of and us. Mexican. They don't want to fool with it. Don't call me the wrong one of us. They don't fool with some of us now. They might think I'm Cuban. They like, look, you're not making it out of here today, ma'am.
Well, you ain't got to worry about that because you ain't crossing over the border and leaving the state of Texas for nothing. So that you don't have to worry about.
Ronald, I need you to channel your inner Ronald so that he listens because Ron, he ain't about shit. Your inner Ronald, please. I am appealing to your inner Ronald.
I mean, how are we going to see all the Texas? I've seen no other part of the United States.
I have been outside of the state of Texas several times, so let's not get caught up on what's comical, and let's talk about what is true. I just left Washington, D.C., and I flew there and I flew back home. I was not in Texas the whole time that I was flying in and sleeping and flying back.
Okay, so look at this. So since you flew to D.C., okay, and what's that other place?
I completely flew to Chicago.
I remember you going to Chicago.
I did. I went to New York. I went to Atlanta.
Okay. Well, can we go to Puerto Rico? Can we go to the Bahamas?
Are you missing the connection? How do you go from New York? You went to New York. You went to Atlanta. You went to Washington. Then you start throwing out some Spanish stuff. Like, ma'am, these are all places that speak American.
Puerto Rico is American.
First of all, the U.S. Virgin Islands is American. Puerto Rico is American.
But they don't speak American.
Yes, they
do. What are you talking about? First of all, it's English.
No, they all speak different variations of English. The English I speak down here when I say with you is not the same English that you speak in New York. It's not the same.
All right, first of all, there's no reason. Right, what was that? You talking like you got marshmallows in your mouth. That's not attractive. Don't do that.
That was not sound like that. I'm sorry. Okay, I'm sorry. I apologize. Mm,
mm.
I'm sorry. That's what they would not mean.
Oh, now she ain't got nothing to say.
But they speak English in Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands, and they are territories of the United States. So we can go there
just like America.
Without. Where?
I was saying it's just like America.
It sure is. You can go over there with your birth certificate. You don't even need a passport.
See? So she's making excuses.
You know what? That's what somebody said on one of her posts when they said it was some bullshit. They think of people and they bullshit as excuses. Yup. That's what they said.
I'm sick of people and they bullshit excuses, too. But you know what I'm sick
too.
Of more than that?
What?
I'm sick of people and they bullshit work ethic. I'm sick of people saying, oh, we're the best at something, and they don't put no goddamn work in. They are lazy bastards. They get there late, leave early. I mean, it's sickening because when you're in a team environment, somebody else now has to pick that up.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? When you leave it down there, somebody got to pick it up, but the team has to get the job done. And when you know that you could just be a little lax, you know, slack off a little bit, because somebody else will do it, That's some bullshit. That's some bullshit. I seen that happen late last week at work, and I'm looking at it like it didn't directly affect me, but I seen it happen, and it left a bad taste in my mouth. So I was like, you know what, that's some bullshit. But it wasn't my bullshit, so I kept it moving.
I see it all the time. All the time. Even though I work from home, I still have a team, so I see it all the time where, you know, people don't understand that it takes a team to make this happen. What are you doing? Why do you think your system has been hacked? Why aren't you doing the same work that the rest of us are doing? So, yeah, get your lazy ass on the phone and do this job.
Thank you. That's what you're here for. That's what you get paid for.
Exactly.
It's not going to kill you. I mean, just do it. Do it with a little bit of proficiency, with a little bit of pride. Just a little bit. You don't got to have much. Just some. And,
just enough to be successful. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't even have to be the top tier, but at least be successful in some shit.
Thank you. That's all I'm saying.
I get it. Thing, brother Ron.
All right. See, now you're trying to hurt me.
I didn't call you Ronald. I said brother Ron. The world.
I don't know who I am anymore around you guys.
What? Did we give you a complex? You don't know yourself anymore?
Exactly. I got me, you know what I'm saying, switching personalities and shit like I'm Sybil or somebody.
I'm Sybil. Jesus Christ. I ain't Jesus. What the what? Did Shamor lose contact or something?
You already know she. Listen. Somebody knocked on her front door, so she went and got her pistol.
No.
Oh, it was a sale on shoes, and they said she had to be there in the next 10 minutes, so she left. She ain't tell her.
What shoe store is open at this time of night?
Oh, that ain't happening either.
But you know what? That would be a great idea. Because you know how sometimes things can happen and you need like a quick shoe repair or you need to just go buy a new pair of shoes. What if there was a 24-hour shoe store?
Or like a
shoe food truck, like a shoe boutique truck.
If it was a 24-hour shoe, any fucking thing,